We begin the current daf, Masechta Baba Basra, daf Kufyud Aleph. Begin on the bottom of Kufyud Amud Beis, second line up from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues into the next category of our Mishnah regarding those that are Neichlin Ve'en Manchilin. They inherit from their partner that they're related to, but they do not bequeath to them. And that is, Vo'ishas Imay B'chulu. One of them is a man regarding his mother. He inherits from his mother, but if he dies, his mother does not inherit from him. And that is the Gemara, Menan Amili. From where do we know this, that a man inherits his mother? And not that a daughter inherits her mother, and moreover that the son comes before the daughter regarding the inheritance of the mother. In other words, because although that we established in the previous daf that a son comes before a daughter, there we only establish that the son comes before the daughter by the father's assets. As the pasuk talks about, ish ki yamas, when the man dies, uven enle, and there's no son, then vavartim, then you go and give it to the daughter. But regarding when the woman dies, A, first of all, how do we know that her son inherits her? And B, how do we know that the son comes and has before the daughter and takes precedence to the daughter's inheritance of her mother? So the Gemara says, the time upon, like we learned in the Braisa, as we continue on top of Kofiyot Aleph and Aleph, the pasuk in Bamidbar says, V'chol bas yereshes nachla, any daughter that inherits an inheritance, mimatas b'nei Yisrael, from the tribes of the Jewish people. The end of the pasuk says that le'echad mimishpachas matiavia, that only to someone, an individual from the family of her father's tribe, ti le'isha, is she allowed to get married to. And the reason for that is that the Torah didn't want that one tribe's inheritance should then be transferred to another tribe, because when the woman inherits from her parents, and she gets married to a different tribe, as we'll see, that will actually establish this concept that her husband's going to inherit from her, and then it's going to go from one tribe to the next. So therefore, the Torah did not allow a woman from one tribe to marry a man from a different tribe. Now, however, as Rashbam points out, this halacha was only said regarding the generation that inherited the land of Eretz Yisrael, as the Gemara later on Daf Kof Chof Amud Aleph explains. Now, actually, the Gemara in the next Daf asks that since we see from this pasuk, as the Gemara is going to shortly establish, that she inherits mimatis b'nei Yisrael, she's inheriting from two tribes, she's inheriting from her mother and her father, but even then, how does it help with the pasuk says that she's going to get married to a man from the tribe of her father? Still, she's going to be transferring her mother's inheritance, which is from one tribe, to a different tribe, which is the tribe of her father, and the Gemara is going to address that question. But what the Braisa says is as follows. Heich basi resha shnei matis. How do you ever have a conceptualization of a woman inheriting from two tribes, where it sounds like that one daughter is receiving inheritance from two tribes, because it says mimatis b'nei Yisrael. It says if there's going to be a daughter that's going to inherit from tribes of the Jewish people. Now, you don't find relatives to a woman to inherit from more than her mother and her father. So Ella rather says the Braisa zu, this the case that the pasuk is talking about is shaviyah mishevet achad, where her father's from one tribe, v'ima mishevet achar, and her mother's from a different tribe. Now, although how did her mother get married to her father if they're from different tribes? When her mother married her father, actually, her brothers were still alive, meaning the mother's brothers were still alive, which they would inherit the father's inheritance when he dies. Where there's no problem about the woman marrying a man from a different tribe, because there's not going to be any what's called hasabas nachla, it's not going to be any transfer of inheritance to a different tribe at the time they got married, because at the time they got married, she had brothers who was going to inherit her father. Because the Torah was only particular regarding the time of the marriage, which is, in this case, she wasn't fit to inherit the estate of her father. But what ended up happening for the conceptualization of this case of the Pasig is that after she had gotten married to her husband from a different tribe, then her brothers passed away, and then her father passed away. And then she went and then got, therefore by default, got the inheritance from her father, and then umesu. So now you have a mother and a father who both have inheritances from different tribes. They both die, the mother and the father, and they don't have any children. They only have this one daughter, the Yerushah son. And then this girl inherits both her mother and her father. So it comes out, which now we understand the reading of the pasuk, where this bas is Yerushah Sanachla, Mimatis Bnei Yisrael, from two different tribes. She has the inheritance of her mother from the tribe of Shimon, for example, and the inheritance of her father from the tribe of Reuben. So therefore, we see this concept that the Braisa says that a woman would be inheriting from a mother and a father. Now, continues the Braisa, the Ein Le'ela Bas. Now, I would only know that this halacha that we were asking, how do we know that a child, we were asking this question on our Mishnah, that a man inherits his mother. So what we do see clearly is, like the Braisa says, Ein Le'ela Bas. So okay, we know that the inheritance goes from the mother, because we see this pasuk is talking about inheritance not just of a father, but from two tribes, from a mother too. And again, that context, the pasuk is talking about something different, which is then she can't marry from a different tribe. But what we do see inherent in the pasuk is that a child is inheriting from a father and a mother. But still, says the Braisa, I would only know that a daughter inherits a mother. Ben minayin, how would I know that a son inherits his mother? Because actually, as Rashbam explains, we could say that actually the Torah was very particular, that maybe it follows the descent in that a son inherits the father, as the pasuk says, it's the son that primarily inherits the father, and maybe the daughter primarily inherits the mother. How would I know from this pasuk that the son inherits, maybe only the daughter inherits the mother? And that says the Braisa, Amrit Kal Vachomer. No, you say a Kal Vachomer. Because of ma'bas, because if regarding a daughter, she has a deficient strength in her father's estate. Because we know that if there's a son, she doesn't inherit anything. The son comes before the daughter. And yet still, but she has a strong hand in inheritance of her mother's estate, where the pasuk clearly says that she does inherit from her mother. So ben she yupo koicha b'nechze av. So then, regarding a son that has a very strong strength in the inheritance of the father, ain't the din she yupo koicha b'nechze aim. Then for sure, which that's a mochamer de galocha, because it inherits even by a father. For sure, he's going to go ahead and inherit by the estate of the mother, just like the daughter inherits. Now, but still, although we learned out one of the two questions that we had asked, how do we know in general that a son inherits a mother? But then we still have the second question: how do we know that the son comes before the daughter regarding the inheritance not only of the father, but even by the inheritance of the mother? That's what the Braisa continues and says, Umimakam Shabasa. And from where you came, where you started this concept, which is to learn out that in general a son inherits from the mother because you learned it out in comparison from the estate of the father, then you continue learning and teach even further. That is Malahalan ben Kaim Labas, just like over there by the inheritance of the father. The son comes before the daughter of Khan ben Kaim Labas, so to hear also by when the mother dies, so too the son comes before the daughter. Now later on the Gemara is going to ask, actually as the disputant of this Tanakhama is going to hold, that how can you say more than what you're learning out from? The only place you know that the son even inherits by the mother is from a Kavachamah from the daughter. So therefore, it's what's called Dai Leva Min Adin Li Is Kenidin. It can't be stronger than what you're learning out from, and therefore, how could you say that he even goes before the daughter? Because that's actually the dispute. Rabbi Yisi Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yisi Amru, they both say Meshurim Rabbi Zachariah ben Akatzav, in the name of Rabbi Zachariah ben Akatzav, that he disagrees with the Tanakhama. He says, Echad HaBen VeEchad HaBas, whether a son or whether a daughter, Shavim Ben Nichseim, they're both equal in the mother's inheritance, meaning they inherit it together. Not like we inferred from the Tanakh of a Mishnah or like the Tanakh come over here, that the son actually takes precedence of the daughter even by the mother's inheritance. Now, says Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatzav, my time, what's the reason? Why am I saying that they're equal? Because Dai Levim and Adin Li Is Kenidin. It's enough to what you're learning out to that it should be not any stronger than what you're learning out from. And since you're learning out from the daughter, so it can't be better than the daughter. So therefore, although we're saying that so too the son could also inherit, but it's not going to be any stronger. And therefore, when there is the mother who passed away, both the daughter and the son are equal in the inheritance, not like the Tanakhama. Now that actually the Gemara asks, the Tanakhama like Darsh Daya, does the Tanakhama, the first Tana, not expound this halacha concept known as Daya, that it's enough, you can't be any stronger than what you're learning out from? But Vadaya Deraisahu, but this is a biblical concept. The Tana like learning the Braisa. This Braisa is the beginning of Teres Kayanim, which is the Tanoic expositions of Sefer VeYikra, where Rabbi Shmuel says, as we say this in Karbanis before Pesuka de Zimra, but B'shleisha Semidah is Hatayin Udash Behen. The Torah is expounded in 13 different ways. One of them is Mekalo Chaymer, one of them is Mgzer Shava, one is a Binyav, and so on and so forth. Then the Braisa goes and explains each one. And that's the part that our Gemara is quoting. The Braisa says, Medin Kalo Chaymer Ketzad. That is, what is the type of context when we're going to expound something from another thing through a Kal Vachomer? I mean to say that if this Kal has this stringent halacha, so this severe thing, for sure should have this severe halacha. Where do we find that? So says the Braisa, as it says the Pasuk in Bamidbar, says, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe, V'avia yorek yorek b'faneu. Imagine if her father would spit in her face. For sure she would be embarrassed for 7 days. So the message that Hashem is telling Moshe regarding this, that Miriam had said Lashon Hara, all the more so if she's doing something degrading regarding the Divine Presence, and the Divine Presence would be displeased with her, if by her father she'd be embarrassed for 7 days, for sure when it comes to the Divine Presence it should be for 14 days. Yet still we find that the pasuk was not more stringent in regards to Miriam for the Shechinah than it was for the thing that's more kal, which is regards to a human being. Now, the reason is that because the whole context that you're learning out, that there should be a nidui, an excommunication of an individual for a certain amount of days from that lighter thing, Ella rather says the Braisa, the reason why that the Torah only mandated her being separated for 7 days, not 14 days, was because Daya love him and Adin Lee is Kanida, and it's enough from what you're learning out to, from what you're learning out from, and that's why the pasuk there continues. It says Tisagar Shivasam. She's only going to be sequestered for 7 days, not 14 days, although the Kavu Chemish tells 14, but you can't do any more. So ask the Gemara, what's the understanding of the Tanakama? Seemingly, the Rebbe Zachariah ben Akatzar was correct. Daya love him and Adin Lee is Kanida, and it can't be any better than what you're learning out from the daughter. How can you say that the son who's learning from Kavu Chemish is actually better than the daughter and actually takes precedence? So that the Gemara answers, the Alma Darish Dai, you're right. In general, the Tanakama, as everyone does, expounds the halacha concept of Daya. But Vashani Hacha, here in the context of the mother's inheritance, it's different because the Amakra Mimatis, the pasuk recorded on the top of the Amid, is that when it talks about the mother's inheritance, because that's the context we were learning it out from regarding the daughter inheriting from the two tribes of the Bnei Yisrael, which we inferred that one is the mother and one is the father. So you see, there is a child inheriting from the mother. Now, but since it says mimatis, so then it's talking about two different tribes. So makish, it's comparing because it's saying it in one word, mati ha'em l'mati av. It's equating the mother's tribe, meaning the inheritance from the mother, from the father's tribe. Now, since additionally we said that not only is this pasuk talking about a daughter, but it's also talking about a son from the Kavu Chemish that we said that's for sure the son is going to inherit the mother. And as we're illustrating that the word matay, since it's in one word, because it doesn't say that if a daughter will inherit inheritance, mishnei matis from two tribes, it doesn't. It says it in one word that's including the plural. So therefore we expound as follows. Ma matay ha'av ben koyim laba, since we're equating the two, so we say just like by the father's tribe, the son comes before the daughter, af matay ha'ein ben koyim laba. So by the mother's tribe, the son comes before the daughter. So you're right, it's not just because the Kavu Chemish is telling us the whole thing. Kavu Chemish is putting the son in this context too. Now once it's in the context and we're comparing the two tribes together, so then we take it one step further from the actual pasuk that's being makashed and saying that just like over there, the son is before the father, here also the son is before the sister in regards to inheritance of the mother. Now, the Gemara continues and says that Rav Nitai, who is the name of a chacham, of a sage, Savah lemevet ubde krib Zechariah ben Akatzav. He thought to follow this halacha of Zechariah ben Akatzav, that he had said that the son and the daughter are equal in regards to inheritance of the mother. Unlike by the father's estate, the son comes before the father, but he thought to look at Zechariah ben Akatzav based on, like he said, the principle of Daya, that they're equal. On that, Amalei Shmuel. So Shmuel said to Rav Nitai, come on, who are you doing this like? Did you want to split equally the son and the daughter? Because Zechariah? F is Zechariah. Zechariah is nothing. In other words, that his words are voided. Allah is not like him. Similar incident, the Gemara says that Reb Tavla Ovid over the Krib Zechariah ben Akatzav. Reb Tavla actually did, in the Paskin, the Krib Zechariah ben Akatzav, that the son and the daughter split the mother's inheritance equally. On that, Omle Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said to Reb Tavla, my high, what is this? What are you Paskin? So Amalei, Sir Reb Tavla said to him, the Amar Rav Chin, the Bar Shalami, Mishmei de Rav, the Halacha was said over the name of Rav, Halacha Krib Zechariah ben Akatzav, which is that they split equally. On that Amalei, Sir Reb Nachman said to him, Zil Ahadabach, go and retract your ruling. V'iloin if not, Mefikna Loch Rav Chin, the Bar Shalami, I'm going to take out this Rav Chin, the Bar Shalami from your ears, which is that you're quoting Rav Chin, the Bar Shalami, that Rav had said that this is the Halacha. I'm going to excommunicate you, and this that you're quoting of Chinnah Bashlami is not going to help you anything. Now, so to Rav Huna Bar Chiya, Sobel Lemevet of the Krib Zechariah ben Akatzav. Rav Huna Bar Chiya thought to go ahead and pass like Rav Zechariah ben Akatzav. So to hear, Amalei Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said to him, my high, what is this? So Amalei said to him, Dom Rav Huna Rav. Now he quotes some other Amalei in the name of Rav. Rav Huna said the name of Rav. The Halacha Krib Zechariah ben Akatzav. So Amalei, Rav Nachman said to Rav Huna Bar Chiya, yeah? This is what you're saying Rav Huna said that Rav had Paskin? Eshlech Le, I'm going to send to Rav Huna. I'm going to notify him what you're saying over in his name. And we're going to find out if it's true or not, if Rav Huna said this. Now, Ichsef, but Rav Huna Machia became embarrassed because he was concerned that maybe Rav Huna actually ultimately retracted or he wasn't so confident regarding his teaching that he was saying over in his name. So he was embarrassed at saying, oh, maybe I got something wrong. Maybe he's going to send Rav Huna and it's going to turn out that what I'm trying to Paskin is incorrect. So when Rav Nachman saw that he was embarrassed and started hesitating, Amalei Rav Nachman said to him, Hashta, now Kinach nafsh Rav Huna, if it were that Rav Huna had already passed away, istrisis lekavli, you would have stood up to me and been defiant, and you would not have retracted. Now that he's alive, you're starting to get fidgety, starting to get nervous that I maybe disproved you, and therefore don't be so confident in passing like you're quoting from the name of Rav Huna and the name of Rav, like Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatsav. Now, the Gemara actually asks, so Ve'ihu, so Rav Nachman himself, Kaman Safa, who did he hold like? Seemingly, there are these halachas said over the name of Rav, that the halacha is like Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatsav, that they do split equally. And that's what the Gemara says, no. Ki had the Rav or Shmuel Damer Tavayu, he had the tradition that both Rav and Shmuel both said that in halacha Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatsav, the halacha does not follow like him, and therefore they do not split equally, rather the son takes precedence before the daughter. Continuing on this theme, the Gemara says, Mistamech v'azal Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai was leaning and walking. That's because he was elderly and he wasn't able to see so well. And he was leaning on the shoulder of his attendant, Reb Simloi. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Nesila Pai, Rabbi Yehuda Nesia, who was a grandchild of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, was walking towards them. So Amalei, so the attendants of Rabbi Yanai said to Rabbi Yanai, Bar Inish the Asa Likivlana, the person that's walking towards us, Hu Yoi, he's a respectable person, Vigulse Yoi, and his garment is respectable, meaning it's like the garment of Tamidah Chacham, or it actually means it was actually a beautiful garment, as the narrative would seem to indicate, because we find later in the story, Rabbi Yanai actually touched and he says, this is a respectable garment, this is of inferior quality. Now, Kimat L'Gabei, when Yehuda Nesia reached him, so Gashashash, Rabbi Yanai went and felt out this garment of Yehuda Nesia, and Amalei said to him, Dane, this garment, Shiyuri Kisak, its measurement is like a sackcloth, meaning because in its quality, its fabric is thick and deficient, and therefore its measurement to be vulnerable and susceptible to tumah is actually 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, which is like the halachas of a sackcloth. As the Mishnah teaches in Masechta Shabbos and Masechta Sukkah, that there's different measurements for the type of garment that it is. A sackcloth is 4 tefachim squared, a regular garment is 3 tefachim squared, and therefore he's saying this is a high quality garment, this is like a sackcloth. Now, continues the Gemara, the narrative, that Bo'yiminei, Rabbi Yehuda Nesia asked from Rabbi Yanai, this halacha that we're discussing, Minayin leben shekoyim lebas benichsa'im, from where do we know, which is obviously like the Tanna Kamma and how we assume the Tanna of a Mishnah holds, that the son comes before the daughter regarding the inheritance of the mother. So Amalei, so Rabbi Yanai responded to me, says, Dichsev, like it says in the pasuk, Matos, which is putting the inheritance of from the father and from the mother in the same plural word, which makish matiim lamateav, which we equate the tribe of the mother to the tribe of the father, that tells us ma mateav ben kum labas, just like by the inheritance of the father, the son comes before the daughter. Av mateim ben kum labas, so too by the tribe of the mother, the son comes before the daughter. Now on that, Amalei Rabbi Yehuda Nesia asked back to Rabbi Yanai, but I ma mateav, but if that's the case, so then just like by the tribe of the father. We know the Torah tells us that the firstborn takes a double portion. So af mateim, and the same thing should apply to inheritance of the mother. The bechor netel pishnayim, that the firstborn should take a double portion. So now the Gemara continues on the base. So amalei l'shamai. So Rabbi Yanai said to his attendant, "Good, take me down. Let's get out of here. Because less dain tzavil lemelav. This individual does not want to learn. He just wants to ask questions that are unnecessary." And what he was insinuating was that this was such an obvious question to answer. He just wants to go and hack me. He just wants to ask me all these questions. Let's get out of here. Now, the Gemara asks, what time am I? So what actually is the reason? What is the answer to Rabbi Yehuda's question? Why, by the inheritance of the mother, don't we say that just like by Mateav, that the son comes before that there's a double portion, so too by the Mateav? So Abaya said to answer that question, because Amakra, the Pasuk says in Devarim, and this is the pasuk in Perek Chavav, pasuk Yizayin, that talks about. It says ki esa bachar, because actually the firstborn, as the pasuk continues, losses loy pishnayim, he gets a double portion. Where the pasuk continues, as our Gemara quotes, b'chala sheyimatzilei, whatever the father has around, that's what the firstborn son takes a double portion. Says Abaya, it says b'chala sheyimatzilei. The halachas of bachar will apply when it's from him, from the father. Loy v'loy la, it only applies to inheritance of the father, but it's coming to exclude, but not by the mother. Now, on this interpretation of Abaya, the Gemara asks, but maybe say, when did we say this idea that the firstborn son does not take a double portion by the Nechsei Ha'eim? When that's maybe by Bachar Shenasa Amana, by a man that was never married, that married a widow, which she had children from another man, Maybe that's where the pasuk is telling us that the bechor will only take the double portion from Loi, from his father, not from his mother, because there's another variable that the pasuk says why a firstborn has a special portion, because he's reishis einai. He's the first of his father's strength, because it's the first seed that his father had. So therefore, he takes from his father, but he won't take from his mother because he's not reishis einai. He's not her first strength because she has children from a previous marriage. Aval, but ask the Gemara, but maybe by bechor shenasa besula, by a man that was never married, who marries a girl that was never married, where this child is einai and einai, he's the first strength of the father and the mother. Ask the Gemara, maybe hachanami deshakal, maybe here also, the fact would be that the firstborn actually would take a double portion in the mother's assets, just like by the father. So we're still back to the question, if you're comparing the two, although loy excludes vla, maybe it's only by a bachar that marries an amana, but by a bachar that marries a besula, maybe the halacha should be, based on if you're saying this comparison, that would take Rabbi Yehuda and see his question back to its difficulty. Maybe the Bechor should take a double portion. So Amar Menachem by Yitzchak, he says no, because Amar Kra, the Pasuk says over there, Reishis Einai. There's another exclusionary term. Besides Lai, it says because it's his first strength, which tells us Einai v'loi Einai. His strength and not her strength. In other words, because the Pasuk could have written, as the Gemara will later on explain, Reishis Ein, the first of the strength. Why does it say Reishis Einai? Therefore, it's coming to tell you that even if a Bachar marries a Besula, where it is Reishis Einai, that's not important. He's still not going to take a firstborn double portion from his mother's assets. Which the Gemara asks on this. How can you say that? Hahu, that which the Pasuk says Reishis Einai, you can't use it to exclude Einai v'loi Einai, even when it's a Bachar that marries a Besula. Because actually, Mibayile, you need it for a different drasha to teach us the following halacha. For a child that's born after many different miscarriages, where the mother had given birth to many stillborns, or let's say they were born dead, or they were born in the eighth month, even alive, where they're not viable, and then this child is born after those miscarriages, where there actually the halacha is, it's the pasuk comes to teach us, that he is considered the firstborn for inheritance, because although he's not a bechor, the laws of the firstborn regards to the kayin. The father doesn't have to redeem him with five slum to the kayin, because that, the Torah tells us, has to be pet arechem, the first one that comes out of the mother's womb. And this child, although he's the first viable child, is not the first one that was brought out of the mother's womb. Even so, this is the pasuk teaching us, he will have the laws of the firstborn for the inheritance, where he will get a double portion. Because in regards to the halacha of the firstborn child, in regards to inheritance, that halacha is misha libay dava alav. It's only regarding someone that's going to die that the parents will mourn over them. That's what the Torah is telling us. Reishis Einai, from like the term of einanis, of einan, of someone that lost a close relative. That's the one that has the context of the laws of Bechor. Now, this child that was born after all these miscarriages, if he would die, he would be the first one that the parents would really mourn because he was a viable child. But regarding the miscarriages, the first ones, there's not that level of mourning, of loss, as there is for a viable child. So that's what the law has to teach us, that Yatzezeh, this excludes the miscarriages, the nafel, she'ein libo davolav, where there's not that type of a loss as a viable child. And therefore, the first children were not considered b'chair fanachla to make the regular child afterwards into a pashit. Rather, he has the halach of b'chair. So then the Gemara's question is, how can you say from Reishis Einai to say Reishis Einai v'loi Reishis Einai, to exclude even when a Bachar marries a Besula, to say even there you're coming to answer and say how we know that the child does not get a double portion from his mother's inheritance, but you can't. It's needed to say a different halacha, to say Reishis Einai. It's only the child that's the first one that was born that you'll be Einan, you'll be mourning over, which comes to exclude if the first ones were miscarriages and this one's the first viable one, then he does have a halacha of Bachar l'nachla. So how can you say it's being used to exclude the mother's estate? And that the Gemara answers no, because Im Kain, if that was the case, it was only coming to use to teach us this halacha of Nephalim, then Lema Kro Ki Hu Reishis Ein, then the Torah should have just written, because he's the first of Ein, which would have told us this concept of the first one that you would mourn over. My Einai, why does it say his Ein? Shemam and Natarti, that teaches us both halachas. One, about the halacha of the first viable child, is considered the Bechayr for Nachla, not for the laws of Pidyon HaBen. And also the halacha of Oinoi v'lo Oino, even if it's a Bechayr that marries a Basula, still, that answers the question. Even though we compare it, the Torah is explicitly telling us that it's only where the Bechayr applies to the father's estate, not to the mother's estate. But still the Gemara asks, Bavakati Emor, but still you should say that Hanamili, when did we say that the Torah is excluding when it says oinoi v'loi oino, that maybe this is what the pasuk is saying. If it's a bachar, an unmarried man, that marries an amana, a widow, where there, yes, the racious oinoi that we say in the Torah that the bachar takes a double portion, whatever is imatzeloi, is coming to say oinoi v'loi oino. Meaning, if let's say he's an alman shenasa besula, if let's say he's a widower who married a virgin, a never married girl, where there's only going to be aina, yeah, that's what the Torah would be telling us, that he doesn't take a double portion. So in other words, you'd be saying that both. This exclusion from the pasuk is coming to tell you either one or the other. If let's say he's a bachar that marries an almana, or an alman that marries a besula, that's what the Torah is telling us. Let's say when it's only aina, when a bachar marries a besula, when an alman marries a besula, and so he's not the first of the father, because this man was already married once before, but it's the mother's first time, so it's only aina, maybe that's what we're coming to exclude to say, that he's not going to take the mother's double portion, even though there's aina over there. Aval, but where there is also aina, meaning in the case of bachar shenasa besula, when you have a never married man who marries a never married girl, maybe then we should say what's called migui, that since in that case he is going to take a double portion by his father because he's oinoi, hachinami de shoko, maybe in that case also he should take a double portion from his mother, because here he's going to be a bechayr for the inheritance both by his father and both by his mother. In other words, because what the Gemara is asking is that you cannot establish this miut of the Torah of oinoi velo oino, only what is the most exclusionary type, which is all we see from the pasuk, is something that doesn't have racious ayin from both sides. So if it's a bachar that marries an almano or an alman that marries a besula, okay, maybe that's where we'd be excluding it. But how do we know to take it even the next step further, that even when it's bachar that marries a besula, we have racious ayinoi and racious ayina? How do you know that even in that case, the firstborn does not take a double portion from his mother? So the Gemara says, you're right. We're not learning enough from Rishis Oinai. Elama Rava, rather Rava brings a different source to teach us this halacha, that the firstborn, although we compare for the law's inheritance from the mother, the same as by the father, and by the father's bechayr, so too it should be by the mother. Rather, Rava says we learn it from a different place. Because Amakra, the pasuk says, Loi mishpat habechayr. For him, there's the laws of the firstborn. Now, although the simple translation of the pasuk seems to be going on the son, the firstborn, that he gets the laws of the bechayr, however, actually, the Gemara is expounding this lie going on regards to the father, which is coming to say, Mishpat HaBechayr L'Ish, the laws of the firstborn only apply to a man that passes away, V'loi Mishpat HaBechayr L'Isha, but the laws of the firstborn, by getting a double portion, do not apply to the inheritance from a woman, where here, as Rashbam explained, you cannot say, as the Gemara had asked before, oh, maybe say this only applies to when a bachar marries an almana, but maybe when a bachar marries a besula, then it should apply, because from the fact that the words of the pasuk are, this is a mishpat habachayr, this is the laws of the firstborn, that's a general concept, which is encompassing all the laws of the firstborn, that applies only by the assets from a man, but not from the assets of a woman, and that answers the question, why there's no laws of the firstborn that Rabbi Yehuda Nasihat asked, which Rabbi Yehuda said that's such an obvious answer, he just wants to ask questions, where, as we explained from Rava, because there's lay mishpat habachayr, it's only from the father, not from the mother. Now, the Gemara continues explaining the halacha of our Mishnah, which was regarding the second category, where regarding those that inherit but do not bequeath, which that is va'ish es ishtoi b'chulu, a man inherits from his wife, but if the man dies, the wife does not inherit from him. Now, as Rashbam points out, this halacha is even if there is a child, because the husband is very different than most of the other relatives. Regular relatives are from a woman's family. And even so, we're telling us that the husband inherits the wife, therefore, by obvious default, we're coming to say that he's before all her relatives, because all her relatives are blood relatives, which the husband is not. Obviously, we're saying that the husband inherits and not them, which even if she has a child, it's going to be the husband that inherits the wife and nobody else. So that the Gemara asks, from where do we know this, that A, that a husband inherits the wife, And moreover, that he's not manchel, meaning that if he dies, the wife does not inherit from him. So the Gemara says, the Tanabon like learn the Braisa. The Pasuk says, in the laws of inheritance of the parish of Nachlis and Bamidbuch of Zayin Yid Aleph, which this Pasuk is integral, as we've mentioned this Pasuk many times, which in that whole parasha it talks about the hierarchy, the order, the chronology of the laws of inheritance. So the simple translation of the Pasuk is that v'im'ei nachem la'aviv, if there's no brothers to the father, because we already said that there was no son, and there was no daughter, and there was no brothers. So then we go to the father's brothers. If there's no father's brothers, then you give the inheritance to his relative that's closest to him, mimishpachta, from his family. And he inherits it. And this is the laws of the inheritance. Now, on that, the Bryce expounds. This that it says in the Pasuk, that you give his inheritance to his relative, says the Braisa zu ishtay. This is a reference to his wife. Now, the reason why we say that is because she'er literally means to say flesh. And regarding husband and wife, it says that they become one flesh. Now, as Rashbam explains, obviously then, the way the Braisa is interpreting, that this word l'she'eri would not be going on what the Pasuk says before. Although the words in the Pasuk before are v'im'ein achem lo'aviv, if there's no brothers for the father, so it seems to then say, if there's no brothers for the fathers, then you give the inheritance l'she'eri ha'karvei lov. What does it have to do with anything? The husband comes before all these people. Rather, explains Rashbam that the way the Braisa would be explaining would be its own independent halacha. And although actually the words after that say, after the word l'she'eri, it says ha'karvei lov mimishpachtei, that actually would be going back and concluding what the Pasuk had said before. If there's no brothers to the fathers, so almost like the word l'she'eri is almost like its own halacha, almost like take it out, continue the pasuk. If there's no brothers to the fathers, then you give it to the closest relative, and then there's an independent halacha of l'she'eri, which is that when there's halacha regarding a wife, what's the halacha? Says the Braisa, Malamet Shabal Yershes Ishtei. It's coming to teach us that there's a law regarding a wife, which is when a wife dies, the husband inherits his wife. Now, on that continues the Braisa, Yochel Afi Tirishenu, that you would actually think that the same thing should be the other way too. That if he dies, that she inherits him. Because as Rashbam explains, actually that would be the most simplest translation of the Pasuk. If one reads the Pasuk, it would sound like, V'nasatim es nachlosei l'she'eroi. You give his inheritance to his she'er, which is his wife. And you would expound the Pasuk, V'nasatim es nachlosei, that if this person dies, you give his inheritance l'she'eroi to his wife. And then the Pasuk continues, and says, after it says, Akarvel of Mimishpachtoi, the Yarash, and he inherits, in other words, and he also inherits She'erai if she dies. So you would think from the Pasuk that it goes both ways. Tamalema, that's what the Pasuk teaches. Then no, it says, the Yarash Isa, that he inherits her, although the simple translation is that he, the whoever this closest relative, inherits it, meaning the inheritance. But it also says, the Yarash Isa, which one could read it, he inherits her. Because really, it could have just written, the Yarash, he inherits, without saying Isa, which then the Pasuk would have read that he inherits her and she inherits him, as we just explained, which it would say, if you read that as it's written in the Torah, that you give his inheritance to his she'er, which a few words later it says v'yarash, you would have read it, that you give his inheritance to his wife, and you would also read it, that he inherits his she'er, his wife. So that's why the Torah writes, no, it says v'yarash aysa, why does it add that extra word? He inherits her, to exclude, to tell us who Yerush Aysa, that only he inherits her, v'ein he Yerush Aysa, and she does not inherit him. And therefore it's coming to reflect on the beginning of the Pasuk, which is said, v'nasat mes nachlos l'she'eroi, that you give his nachla l'she'eroi, which we have to explain, as the Gemara will shortly explain, that it means that the husband inherits her, and not that she inherits him. Now, that's actually the Gemara's question. It says, but v'hai kroi lav hochiksivi. But actually the Pasuk is not written like that. If one reads the Pasuk, it says, v'nasatim es nachlos el hesheira. You give his inheritance to his share, to his wife. Which sounds like that the wife inherits the husband. How are we coming and doing the exact opposite here in the Braisa and saying that no, he inherits her and she does not inherit him. So that in Abaye, he says, taritzachi. This is the way you have to amend it. You have to read the Pasuk, v'nasatim es nachlosai lakarv elav. That you give his inheritance to the one that's closest to him. I mean, that's the simple translation of the Pasuk. When someone dies, he doesn't have any children, doesn't have any brothers. So then, like we say all along, Hakarv Karv Kaidim. It's coming to tell us the order of the person that you give the inheritance to. That's one idea mentioned in the Pasuk. Another idea mentioned is these words, She'erai V'yarash Aysa. His wife, he inherits her. So if one reads the pasuk like that, where it says if there's no brothers or the fathers, that you give the inheritance of the nachla, you give it to the hakarve love and so on. If you take out the words l'she'eroi, from the words hakarve love me'mishpachtoi, and then you continue with v'yarashaisa, you would read it she'eroi v'yarashaisa. So it's like its own idea. She'eroi, his wife, v'yarashaisa, he inherits her. That's how Abaya explains how you learn that from this pasuk, that he inherits her and not that she inherits him. On that, Rava asks, he says, Sakina Kharifa Mafsika Krai. A sharp knife is cutting up this pasuk. He says, you're inverting the words over here to make as if the word She'eroi that's earlier in the pasuk, as if it's later, and the words right after that, Hakarvilov, you're making as, which it's really later, you're making as if it's earlier, because you're making the pasuk into two separate ideas. There's the concept about whoever's the closest relative, where you're taking the later words, Hakarvilov, putting it earlier in the pasuk, and the word L'she'eroi, which is really earlier, you're moving it later to the end of the pasuk to say that's going on V'yarashaisa. But that's not what the pasuk does. So Elam or Rava, rather Rava gives a different interpretation. Says, Hachakam, this is what the Torah is saying, and how the Bryce is interpreting. V'nesatim esnachlas she'eroi loy. You take the inheritance of his relative to him. Now, what does that mean? Explains the Gemara, because Rava holds, Gairin umesifim v'darshin. And this is what he's explaining from the time of the Bryce, that you could detract and add on and expound. What does that mean? Meaning, when you have these two words near each other, of nachlas, you have over here in the Torah, you have nachalosoi l'she'eroi. The last letter of nachalosoi is a vav. The first letter of the next word l'she'eroi is a lamed. So what you could do is, you take away the vav from nachalosoi, and you take away the lamed from l'she'eroi, and then you add these two letters, and you combine them one next to the other, and you put it after the word she'eroi, and you make them into one word, which is the word loy, and then you expand the pasuk as follows. You read it, v'nesatim es nachlas, you take out the vav, and you take out the lamed lav she'eroi, v'nesatim es nachlas she'eroi loy. You give the inheritance of his wife to him. It's beautiful. Now it reads literally, you give the inheritance of his wife to him when he dies. Now, but as Rashbam points out, but that's not actually the case what Rav is coming to say, that you actually, as if you take off the letters from one place and you add it in another place, because then Rav is doing the same thing Abaye did, which he had a problem with. It's a very sharp knife, cutting up words over here and adding it, making it into a separate word and putting it at the end. Now, rather, what Rav really means to say is that the literal translation of the pasuk you could explain as if you took off letters and added somewhere else and expounded it. Because Rav says you could read the pasuk as follows. V'nesatim es nachlosai. You give his inheritance. In other words, you give to this man that should be his inheritance, l'she'eroi, meaning, on who am I commanding that you should give the inheritance to this man that it should be his inheritance? It's l'she'eroi. It's to this man that his wife is for him, l'she'eroi, for him, a she'er. In other words, it's the inheritance of the woman that you give to the husband. But it doesn't really mean that you cut off the letters and put it at the end, because then he's doing the same thing as Abaye. Or actually, Rashbam says that you could say that no, it actually means to say cut off those letters and put it and combine the word at the end, because he doesn't consider that a cutting up a pasuk, only if you're taking certain words, whole words, and making it earlier in the pasuk, as if taking a carve and putting it before the she'eroi. But to just change some letters, that's not considered cutting up a pasuk, and therefore it would be as if it was written, v'nesatim esnachla she'eroi loy, v'yarashaysa, and he inherits her, where that now answers the Gemara's question, where the loy helps to tell us that he inherits his wife, and also Isa comes to tell us that the woman does not inherit her husband. And therefore, by default, we learn that you have to go ahead and take away and add on letters and expound the pasuk, as we said, where, because there else would be a contradiction in the pasuk, which we had said, wait a second, you're darshaning that the husband inherits the wife and not the wife the husband, when the simple translation of the pasuk sounds the opposite, that the wife inherits the husband and not the husband the wife. So therefore, that's how Rava expounds the Tan of the Braisa, that we know this halacha of the husband inheriting the wife and not the wife inheriting the husband. That's one interpretation. Now the Gemara continues and says, but the high Tana, there's a different Tana, that of Rabbi Shmuel that we're going to shortly quote, that actually Maisla, he brings this halacha of a husband inheriting his wife, mehacha, from a different source, where you don't have to cut up the pasuk or even do this gerin mesifim bedershin. The Tana, like, learn the Braisa. The pasuk says, which we quoted before, v'yarish oisa, he inherits her. So malamecha bal yerish es ishe divrei Rabbi Akiva. This comes to teach us that a husband inherits the wife. This is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, which really that's the same as the brisa that we just brought before. It's just because, as Rashbam explains, the primary part of the drasha which we taught is from the word v'yarish aisa, that he inherits her and not her inheriting him. That's why when he comes to explain his opinion, which is the same as the time of the previous brisa, he grabs that part of the pasuk, because it's that part that comes to reflect regarding the beginning of the pasuk, that if it's saying he's inheriting her, obviously, although the simple translation sounds like she's inheriting him, can't work out. And then we have to go through that whole explanation to show how, whether Abaya said or Rava said, that it's really him inheriting her and not her inheriting him. That's Rabbi Akiva. But Rabbi Shmuel lo me'ein etzarach, he says that you don't need to do this. And the reason for that is because he doesn't hold to this concept of goyin and mesiv and bedershin, cutting letters, putting it, making a new word out of it. Rather, it's because he expounds that when it says in the Torah, l'she'eroi, that's actually referring to the father. As actually we said in the beginning of the parak, where l'she'eroi is a reference to the father, as we had used that pasuk to show how his father inherits from the son, where it says l'she'eroi, hakarvelov, it means a father inheriting from the son. Now, so then if she'eroi is coming to not talk about this halacha, where like the time of the previous brisa, so then where do you know this halacha of a husband inheriting a wife? If l'she'eroi doesn't mean a wife, it means a father, which teaches a whole different halacha, so where do you know it from? So that's the Rabbi Shmuel Harei Oimer. Because the pasuk says in the midbar, V'chol bas yireshes nachl, we quoted this pasuk in the beginning of the daf, that every daughter who inherits inheritance, mimatis b'nei Yisrael, from tribes of the Jewish people, so then the Torah, and the, for that generation had said, la'achin me'mishpachas v'goymer, to one of the tribes of that from her father, that's the type of man she can marry, but not from a different tribe. Says Rabbi Shmuel, what's the Torah talking about over there? It's talking about the transfer of the tribe, of the inheritance from her father, to her husband. In other words, what's the Torah telling us? Why can't she not marry a man from a different tribe? Because then she's even taking the inheritance from her father's tribe to her husband's tribe. How does that happen? Because the husband inherits the wife, and he's from a different tribe. So it'd come out that it's being transferred from one tribe to another tribe, because that's what the pasuk's telling us. It's particularly she should not marry a man from a different tribe, only to a man from the family of her father's tribe. How so? So let's say a woman marries, if a woman marries who she's from the tribe of Shevet Reuven, and she marries a man from the tribe of Shimon, if she subsequently inherits her father, because if let's say her father didn't leave over any sons, only this daughter, when she dies, her husband's going to inherit her. And it's going to come out, the inheritance of the tribe of Reuben is going to go over and transfer to the tribe of Shimon. That's where the Torah is warning, that a daughter who inherits should not go ahead and marry anyone but a man from the family of her father's tribe. And therefore, it's from here, says Rabbi Shmuel, that you see that the husband inherits the wife. Now, actually, later on, the Gemara is going to ask that maybe it's not because the husband inherits the wife, and that's why it's going to transfer to another tribe, and that's why she cannot marry a man from another tribe. Maybe it's because her child, her son, will cause the transfer. Because that we know that a son inherits a mother, and he goes based on his father's tribe. And it's going to be through the son that the inheritance is going to be transferred if she marries a man from a different tribe. But who said that regarding the husband, by the husband we could say that actually maybe he does not inherit his wife. And it's not him that's going to cause the transfer. It's going to be because of the son, and maybe actually because of the husband, the Torah was not concerned that she should not marry him. And therefore that's going to be the Gemara's question. How do you see from here that that it's the husband inheriting the woman and not the son who would be causing the transfer? But that's Rabbi Shmuel's source. Voimer, and so too, the same concepts which the Gemara on the next stop is going to ask, why do we need all these same sources to teach us where the woman's not allowed to marry another tribe, which again is teaching the same idea that because her husband will inherit her. So too the pasuk says, the same idea, she's not allowed to go ahead and transfer the inheritance of the Jewish people from one tribe to another tribe. That's why she can't marry a husband from a different tribe. So too another pasuk says, she's not allowed to go ahead and transfer the inheritance from her tribe to another tribe. And then another source for this concept, a pasuk in Yeshua, that says, Elazar ben Aharon mace, that Elazar, the son of Aharon, died. The Yikbur Isa be Givat Pinchas benai, and they buried him in Givat Pinchas from his son. Now, it sounds like that it was only from his son Pinchas that it was his property, but it wasn't from his father Elazar. Now, the question is, V'chiminayin lePinchas, how exactly did Pinchas have any land in Eretz Yisrael unless it be inherited from his father? So how can you have Shlohoy Loy Lolaza that his father Lolaza didn't have it? El Malamed, rather, this comes to teach the same idea, Shenazah Pinchas Isha, because Pinchas married a woman, Umesa V'yarsha, and she died, and he inherited her. Again, proving this point that a husband inherits a wife, which the Gemara later was going to ask, how do you know from here either? Maybe he purchased the land, and that's how he had it. And another source, and that's why he didn't get it from his father. Another source for this concept is a pasuk in Divrei Yamim Aleph. It says, Usguv hailed as Yar. Sguv gave birth to Yar. Vayihiloi, and Yar had, not Sguv, his father, because it says earlier in the pasuk that Vateloi as Sguv, and there it should have written over there that he had. Rather, it must be going on his child Yar who had. And so, moreover, because the pasuk later on says that Vayikach Geshur Varam Eschav as Yar Mi'itam, that it was called Yar's cities. So we see that Yar had Esim Vishalish Arm Be'eretz Agilad. He had these 23 cities in Eretz Agilad. So as the Gemara continues at the top of Kofi Bezim and Aleph, V'chmei Liyar. How did Yar have these lands? Shloha Yiloy L'skuv, that Skuv didn't have. Melam, this comes to teach the idea, Shanasa Yar Isha Umesa B'Yar. It must be that Yair married a woman, she died, and he inherited her. So again, these are many different sources that Yerushalayim is bringing that you find that a husband inherits a wife.